Okay, let's learn. The shit tonight is to be mazake to even the near before Shlema, the Tfilas are before Shlema, Moshe Tzvi, and Chana, Kolonimus Kalmud and Sara. They should both have a before Shlema, and Shachar, the Israel, and Hera. There were a few people that said that, mentioned to me that they found some of the things a little complicated that I was talking about. So I'm going to try to talk about something a little bit more pashut, and I'll switch a little bit like this from time to time, according to the complaints. But I'll try to, trying to talk to everybody, but there's always going to be different people that at that time feel that I'm excluding them, Chalila. And that's not my intention, is to include everyone, not to exclude anybody. So I have to make hachanas for Eretz Yisrael, so I'll share them with you. The begin with the ma'aser. Usually we end with the ma'aser, but let me begin with a tiny little ma'aser, because the rest of the talk is going to be a hezver of the ma'aser. They say from the Chayzer, they say about the Chayzer from Lublin, the Seer of Lublin, that when he was, he was a Rebbe of Rebbes, and there was a Tzaddik that brought his two sons to the Chayzer. When they were very little, he brought the two sons for brachas to come to the Chayzer. And when they came to the Chayzer looked and he saw right away that these were going to be two shining lights of the Jewish people. He saw beautiful things coming up in the future. So the Chayzer was mishtashay with the children. He enjoyed talking to them. And the Chayzer took the first one next to him and he gave him a strong drink. But they used to have a type of a beer that very, very strong drink. And the first child, the first boy took a sip of this. The first of the two children took a sip of this. And he made a face. And the Rebbe, the Chayzer, asked him, "What is it?" So he said, it's very, very bitter. Then the Chayzer gave the second child, his brother, he gave him the same drink, and the child took a sip, and he also made a face. But then he smiled, and the Chayzer asked him, "What do you think of this?" So he says, "Rebbe, it's bitter, but it's geschmack, it's good." So the Chayzer said to the father, "Both of your children are going to be great, but the second one is going to be much greater. Because the second one understands already at this time in life that there are certain things that are bitter, but they're still good. And that's the sight of this world. It's the mystery of this entire existence that we're in, this crazy life that we're trying to make our way through in the best way possible. Something can be bitter and it can still be good. Adrabba, some of the best things in the world are bitter when we first taste them. But they have a sweet aftertaste." So we have a chiddush from the Kohen from Lublin, from a tzaddik. In Pri Tzaddik, Pesach, the first ice in Pri Tzaddik. If you have Pri Tzaddik, it's good to look. The Pri Tzaddik was just reprinted 2 weeks ago in a beautiful way, in a more readable way. So tzaddik writes the following, the first ice in Pesach. We're now Isaac in the sugya, in the subject of redemption of Geula. So the tzaddikim say that all of history is like a long winter. Until it came to Yitzias Mitzrayim, which took place in the Chodesh Ha'aviv, in the time of the spring, because Pesach, in effect, is the springtime. Yitzias Mitzrayim was the end of the world's winter and the beginning of the spring. And world begins, and life and existence begins to attain meaning with Yitzias Mitzrayim, with our leaving Mitzrayim. So here we have a chiddush in the Kohen. Listen carefully. To talk about Pesach sometimes gets people nervous. But since there are 2 months of Adar, I think everybody can handle it, yeah? So we'll talk about Pesach a little bit. It's the sugya, it's Parshas Bo. We have to talk about it. Achilas Mora Bo L'Sakin Mashapogim Ad Marish. The Kohen from Lublin says that the eating of the Mora on Pesach is coming to repair what Adam Harishon, what Adam was Pogim, what he damaged. The eating of the Mora repairs this. Mashapogim Adam Harishon Ba'achil, with what he ate. Uboha Tikkun B'chagzeh, and the Tikkun that Tzadik there is talking about Pesach, and the Tikkun, the rectification, the repair of the damage that he ate from the tree, takes place with the eating of the Mora, of the Yerokis, of the vegetables on Pesach. Bachilas Yerokis, with the eating of the vegetables at the Seder, Shuhubo ala Klola, because we know that the curse of existence, we'll talk much more about this over the next hour, that the curse of existence was Vachalta es Esav Hasod, that Hashem told Adam and Chava after the sin, that now you're going to eat from the vegetation, from the grass of the fields. The kan oichlam aysay b'kedusha, u'mevarchen alav asher kedushanu b'misvayisav v'tzivanu alachilas mor. And even though the eating of vegetables is the beginning of the curse that followed the sin of the Eitz Hadas Tov Ra, that man was diminished, and the Torah says v'chalta es esav asada, now you're going to eat the vegetables, the grass of the fields. So when we eat the mor, on Pesach, if Tzaddik says, when we eat the mor, we eat it the kedusha and holiness, that we're taking that very same thing that is the simon, is the sign of man's being diminished and lowered. It's the sign of man's being cursed, the eating of the vegetables. But on Pesach night, we say, Asher kedushanu mitzvayisav v'tzivanu, and we eat it the kedusha and holiness. And the Tzaddik ends and he says, the leis nahera, Chazal say that the only true light is the light that emerges from the midst of darkness. That's what the Kohen from Lublin says. But let's understand an Amadrega, what Absodik's talking about. Absodik's Megala is revealing to us that man's partaking of the vegetation of the earth, of the Yerek HaSoda, the Eitz of HaSoda, that is the result of the klola, of the curse, that Adam and Chava were cursed with because they ate from the Eitz HaDa'as Tov Ra. Maybe this is why children are so innocent that they resist the eating of vegetables to a large degree. And even to this day, my wife laughs because she knows that when I ask for a vegetable platter, I'm referring to onion rings and french fries. But real vegetables, I've been saying for years to my mother, and now Baruch Hashem these last 20 years to my wife, that is takia klola, you know, the green stuff, all the green stuff. But the Tzaddik says beferish, and he says in Torah, v'chaltes esav asad, there's a klola. That's the curse of Adam and Chava, to eat vegetables, to eat the Yerek HaSada. And the Tzaddik is telling us that the Achilas Mora on Pesach, that eating the Mora on Pesach is Mafkia, it removes that Klola, that curse that is plaguing us from the beginning of time, since Adam and Chava were told to eat vegetables, that the tikkun somehow takes place by the achilas mora, b'kedusha and holiness. And not only that, but this act, which normally symbolizes the curse of mankind, is transformed into a bracha, the changing of a klola to a bracha, of a curse to a blessing. Which is the sight, which is the mystery of what the Tzaddik is saying from Chazal, the leis nahayre elahu, the nafik mechashucha. That the greatest and deepest and the most precious blessing is not the one that you have from the beginning, but the one that originally appeared to us as a curse. It appeared to us as something destructive, as something painful. And the nahayre is mezgala, the light is revealed dafke from the chshulcha, from the darkness of that klal. It's a mitzvah to understand the words of a tzaddik. So let's try an amadrega, and I'm going to try to keep this very, very simple and clear. Let's try to understand this teaching of the Kohen from Lublin. The Gemara is in Pesachim with Afkuf Yud Ches. The Gemara says in Pesachim, "B'shoah she'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Adam kaitz v'dardet etzmiach loch," that when the Ribono Shel Olam told Adam HaRishon in the aftermath of the sin of the tree of knowledge, the Ribono Shel Olam told Adam HaRishon kaitz v'dardet etzmiach, now you're going to have thorns and so on growing from the ground. Zolgu einav demois. The Gemara says that Adam HaRishon began to cry. Zolgu einav demois. Omalai, Ribono Shel Olam, ani v'chamoyri noichal b'oisai evus. Listen to the words of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon's cry says, Zolgu einav demois. He was crying. And he said, is it possible, Ribono Shel Olam, that I and my donkey should eat from the same feeding bag, from the same place, from the same Michael, that we should eat the same food? So the Rishon was upset. Came and Sha'amalai, so Hashem told Adam Rishon the following pasuk. We all know that pasuk, that with the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. You will be able to eat only with suffering and with sweating and working and so on. So the Gemara says, when Hashem told that to Adam HaRishon, is Karara Daita. He's okay. He was calmed down. He stopped crying. And the Baruch Shalom told him, Adam HaRishon said, you're giving me teeth the same thing. I mean, the tain of Adam HaRishon was, and this is the pell, the tain of Adam HaRishon was, that I'm now forced to eat. Like an animal, I'm forced to eat like a behavior. And the Baruch Shalom says, you're going to eat with difficulty, with pain and with sadness. So Adam HaRishon is crying. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make Adam HaRishon feel better, right? Hashem wants to console, to soothe Adam HaRishon. So Hashem is brought, says to Adam HaRishon, don't worry. It's like Reis and Nechama. Which means with the sweat of your brow, with difficulty and with pain. From now on, that's how you're going to eat. So this is the Nechama. This is the way that the Ribono Shel Olam is consoling Adam HaRishon and consoles each and every one of us. It sounds like v'nahapaychu. It sounds like when Hashem said, "Bezeh apecha toich alechem," it's not like you kick a guy when he's on the floor. Chalila, guy's already on the floor. You already told him the bad news. The party's over. Bitzavintachlana. It's going to be tzaris now. You're going to have to work, and you're going to be eating the same stuff as the behemoth. So he's already on the floor, and then the Baruch Shalom tells him, "And by the way, bezeh apecha toich alechem. You're going to have to really, really work hard and sweat." So here, Chazal tells us, the Gemara says that when Hashem is both told this, Adam HaRishon, Niskar Radaita, he felt okay, he stopped crying, it was a Nechav. Whereas to us, when we learn the Gemara, the Pshat in the Gemara sounds like it's a Taisefes Klal, like it's an additional curse, like it's the Ha'amokit, it's intensifying the original curse. It's not a different curse, but it's the intensification of the Klal HaRishonah. That's how it sounds to us. It certainly doesn't appear to us that there's any klola that's being removed, that the curse is being removed. It sounds like the curse is being intensified and is being doubled and duplicated and so on. So how did Adam HaRishon find in the Chum in these words of Hashem? Why did he stop crying? Because if we understand why that caused Adam HaRishon to stop crying, it can help us stop crying also. Crying and whining and correcting. It could help us also. Because if it helped Adam HaRishon, it means that everything that we go through It's because Adam Rishon went through it. So obviously, the Torah is telling us here something very amazing. But in order to understand this, we have to first understand the real reason why he was crying. The oimek. It can't be just because he didn't want to work. What's the oimek? What's the deep reason, be'emes? Why is it that Adam Rishon was crying? But the taina is in this lashon. The Gemara says the complaint is in this lashon. Avani v'chamayri noichol be'ibus echad. That Rabbi Shlom, you're telling me and the behema to eat from the same feeding bag. So it's pasha to us, and anybody that learns the Gemara, that this cry, this outcry of Adam Arishan, this tsa'oka of Adam Arishan that came in Mamakim from the depths, is the result of his becoming aware that somehow as a result of his chait, that somehow as a result of his mistake that he made in Gan Eden, that the entire mahus, his entire essence was affected, was changed. That whereas beforehand, there was something unique, there was something special, that a human being received his food directly from the master of the world, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was the one who was made in the Mechaya, the Baruch Shalom was the one who fed him and gave him life. And this came mamish miyodah hepsuche directly from Hashem's hands. And that suddenly all of this is different. And his taina is, I'm no different than Aniva Chamayri. I'm no different than my behemoth. It's not a question of what is it that I'm eating, although it for sure is that also, we'll talk about it. But the crying comes as a result of other Marishans' understanding that as a result of what I've done, I'm no different than the rest of the behemoths of this world. So I'm able to stand up straight, but I'm a behemoth like all other behemoths. Aniva Chamayri, we're the same. So something was taken, and other Marishan feels the pain, that there was a certain ruchnis that get darga, there was a unique darga, a unique madrega, a unique level of spirituality, of greatness, of exaltedness that he had lost. So now he's receiving his chiyas, he's standing online like the rest of the, like the rest of the world. He's standing online on the food chain, with the rest of the behemoths. Whereas before there was a certain privilege that he enjoyed. There was something special about his relationship with the Kadosh Baruch. So right there we have to understand. What was the nechama? What was the way, how did the Kadosh Baruch who comfort Adam Arish? How was Hashem mechazik Adam Arish when he told him, Zeh sapecha fechalech? So it must be, that somehow when the Rebbein Shalom told him those words, Bezeis apecha techalechem, that you're going to work with the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to hurry, you're going to have to really work hard to eat. It must be that the Rebbein Shalom told him that Adam Arishon understood that his previous level, his madrega of greatness had in some way, had been restored. That pasuk, that reassurance of Bezeis apecha techalechem, that you will eat with the sweat of your brow, was somehow the reinstatement of the madrega of Adam Arishon to reassure him that this fact is something unique about the relation between a human being and the Rebbein Shel Olam that distinguishes him from all the behemoths. So what was that? What did he hear? Because we need to hear it also. So the Medrash says the following. Mahay Aisi Ilan Sha'achl Men Adam Chaf. What was the tree? There are different opinions, as you know, in Chazal regarding this question. So the Medrash asks, what was the tree that Adam Chaf ate from? What was that tree? Rav Meir Oymer Chitin Hayu. As Rav Meir says that it was Chitin. Wheat. It was Chitin. Reb Shmuel, Reb Yitzchak, Bori, Kamei, Reb Zeira, Efshe, Chitin, Hoyu. Reb Shmuel Reb Yitzchak says, is it possible that it was chitim, that it was wheat? Is that possible? Efshe chitim hoyu? Amalei hei. So Meir said, yes, that's what it was. Amalei vaksiv eitz. So Reb Shmuel Reb Yitzchak asked a very strong question. How could you possibly say that the tree that Adam and Chava ate from was what was chitim? If the Torah says, if the Torah calls it an eitz, a tree. An eitz means what? A fruit-bearing tree. So that's his question. Vaksiv eitz. So Omalei, this is a very, very profound piece of the Medrash. Omalei, so Meir answered Reb Shmuel Reb Yitzchok, and he said, Mitamrois hoyu ka'arze halavon. So half a digger Medrash, which means that originally you should know that chita, that now we have the wheat, that originally, before the chait, when Adam and Chava, in the parasha, when Adam and Chava were seduced by the Nochash HaKadmoni, by the serpent, by the snake of Gan Eden, originally, that which we now see is vegetation that grows from the ground, Ramea said, you should know that originally, that same thing of Chitin was Matamaris, Hoyu Ka'arze Levon, that was bearing, it was a beautiful, powerful, fruit-bearing tree. And the chita was the fruit that it was bear, that was able to bear, that tree was bringing into the world. So it's a wondrous thing. On the one hand, Reb Meir is telling us, listen carefully. On the one hand, Reb Meir is saying that the actual food that Adam HaRishon ate was chit. Chit means from the fields, from the Esav Hasad. However, Mi'idach, on the other hand, this chita was originally from a tree that's Matarmas Kaza Helavana, from a beautiful, rich, and powerful tree. So that means that before the chita of Adam HaRishon, before the sin of Adam HaRishon, this that we now call chitin was taken ilon shel peiros. It was a fruit bearing tree. This is the pshat in the Medrash. And after the chait, after the sin, that tree that was originally a beautiful tree was nismait along with everything else in creation, was diminished, was lowered, and what was once previously a beautiful fruit-bearing tree now was lowered to the status of yerek, of vegetable, of vegetation. However, that's we understand. That La'asad love by Chazal tell us that in the future the Gemara says in Ksubas, an amazing blot, Kuf Yud Aleph in Ksubas. The Gemara says, Asida chita shetetama kedekel. That means that when Mashiach comes, that the chita, the grain, that where the grain, the wheat comes from, will be restored to its previous glory of a fruit bearing tree. That it says in the Gemara Ksubas Kuf Yud Aleph that the yerek, the vegetable, in other words, the klala, putting it very simply, the curse of all existence is fruit being transformed into what? Vegetable. A fruit being changed into a vegetable. The chitim were originally fruit, became now yerek hasada, eitz of hasada became vegetable. And the tikkun hasayfi, The final repair and rectification will be revealed. Mitzvah when Mashiach comes, that tikkun will be in the form of the repair that the chita that was damaged as a result of man's sin and was diminished from being fruit into a vegetable. That la'asad love of the Gemara says asida chita shetetama kedekel, that in the future will bear fruit once again, like all the other difficulties in creation, as we know that the moon was diminished, and we're waiting for the moon to be restored to its glory. And Knesset Yisrael, that is a reflection of the moon, is waiting to be restored to her glory. So too, the tikkun at the end of time is that the vegetable will be repaired, the chita that brought the downfall of Adam and Chava will be fixed, will be repaired, and will be transformed back into fruit. So tzarech il, we have to understand. It must be that if all of the curse of human existence began or is manifested through this demotion that took place, that the tree is forced, is lowered, is degraded and humiliated to becoming a yerek, to becoming a vegetable, right? The chidim went through that. So it must be that somehow this transformation of pre to yerek, of a fruit to a vegetable, that this transformation is revealing to us, according to our matzav, our circumstances here in these long years of galus, the mitzias that takes place each and every time one of us rebels against the Rabbanu Shalom, one of us chooses to eat once again from the tree of knowledge of good and evil by choosing that instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that somehow all that we experience as distance from Hashem and distance from the Tachlis is somehow revealed through this transformation, whereas L'chadchila to begin with the Rabbanu Shalom told Adam and Chava, Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochol Torchol, that you're supposed to eat from the fruit-bearing tree. Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochol Torchol, you should eat from the tree. But then as a result of eating from the Eitz Hadas, that one tree that they weren't allowed to eat from, as a result from eating that fruit, that chita, that the result is what? V'chalta Eitz Hasod, that you now have to eat the vegetables of the earth that grow on the earth, which give the impression, which appears, which causes you to feel that you're no different than the behemah gasa. You're no different than stama behemah. So therefore, in order to understand the entire sugya, we have to understand the difference be'emes between peris and yirakos, between vegetables and fruit. You have to understand what's the difference. Ba'aymik, what's the difference? It's poshut, it's obvious that the clearest and simplest difference between the two is that an eitz is tirchosai mu'etes. A tree bears fruit from year to year. It does not require continuous care, hashgacha and cultivation, attention. It doesn't have to be re-sown. It simply is there. It's a mitzias. It was there. If it's been there from whenever, if it's from the time of Adam HaRishon or it's from later. But once the tree is there, then it's a matter of a natural process that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has instituted, has woven into the fabric of creation that gives life to that tree once again in the coming season. Masha Einokei, which is not the case when it comes to the Esev Asad, to the Yerek. The Yerek, Yerokai's vegetables require continuous preservation, care, re-sowing, re-harvesting, v'chul. Until Sof Kol Sof, after a great amount of worry, and for the farmer losing much sleep, and waiting and davening that it should be good and it should rain, that Sof Kol Sof, finally, there's the possibility of the reappearance, the regeneration from the new crop that he has prepared for this coming year. Now, that means, in the matzav ha-mesukin, mesukin with a saf, not with a samach, in that state of Adam HaRishon before the sin, understand this well, this is a very important nekuda, that in the state of Adam and Chava before the sin, their achila was in the bechina, was not way of peris ha-ilon, was in the way of the fruit of the tree. Meaning, Chazal say, Malachim tzaydan lai bosam misananan lo yayin. That Adam and Chava, before the chait, before the sin, the angels used to roast meat for them. Whatever that means, I'm not getting to the shiloh of meat. And would prepare delicious wine for them. And we understand this, it's explained at the beginning of the Mesilas Yesharim, that the human being in his ideal state is the Nezer HaBri, is the crown and glory of creation, and therefore all of creation was made to serve the Adam in his fruit-eating mitzvahs. And therefore, when we speak of Adam and Chava before the Chait, it means that Adam and Chava, the same way that the fruit tree does not have to worry what's going to be with me next year, what's going to be with me. The fruit tree has continuity and consistency without tircha, without daigas, without concerns, without worries, without fear. So too, Adam and Chava, man in his initial state, in his ideal state, lives in such a way as Adam and Chava before the sin. But there's no yigir, there's no tircha. There's nothing to worry about. There are no daigas. Even with one shver, there's always the possibility that something will go wrong for him. But Adam before the chait, Adam before the sin, the achila was the achila of peres ha'ila, of fruit. Because fruit means on yegia, without yegia, without tircha, without worry, without avoida, without malacha. It is. So Adam and Chava before the sin, they didn't have to worry about parnasa. There were no tirchas. There were no tirdas. There was nothing that was distracting them from holiness. That's man in his ideal state. He's a fruit-eating creature, and therefore he's told to eat mikol eitz hagan, because that's what an Adam is in his ideal state. Everything in creation was made only to serve the Adam, to serve man who was living up to the Rebbeinu Shlomo's expectations. But then what happened is that with the nefila of Adam, with Adam and Chava's failure to maintain that exalted level, with Adam and Chava's failure, the world itself was thrown into darkness, since that's what the Ramchal explains at the beginning of Mesis Ashar. That man's failure means that the world no longer serves his purposes. There's a conflict between us and the world. That's why the world is causing such problems for us. That's why the world is blocking. It seems to us that the world is standing in the way of Hashem's blessings. It provides and it also obstructs. So when Adam and Chava were diminished, when they went down, they took all of reality down with them. They took all of creation down with them. Whereas before, in a state of shleimus, in a state of perfection, all of creation served Adam and Chava. But now, after the chait, since Adam is no longer in a state of shleimus, therefore the world itself has lost its shleimus. The world itself has lost its perfection. And its imperfect state, it conflicts, it contradicts man's metzias, it fights with man's metzias, it threatens man's existence. The world is a threat to man's existence. And therefore what happened is that the tree, the fruit, became a vegetable. The tree became a yerek. Because peres means it's taken care of on its own, without tircha, without yegiah, without work, without worry. Whereas Yerokis vegetable means it needs constant attention, it needs constant care, it needs to be worried about, it needs to be cultivated, and so on. So the result of the chait of Adam and Chava is that the tree is diminished into a yerek. The fact that Hashem is Baruch now says, V'chalta es Esav Asada means, ay, Adam Arishan, you know you were once before what you were, you were from the Paris of Elon, you were a pre, you were mamish a pre. Therefore, the original thing that you ate from was chitin, and the chitin was originally the most delicious, the most beautiful fruit. And therefore, it was able to run in this way. They didn't have to worry. It was just receiving directly from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It received its life, mamish. It received its chiyus, its mazon from Yodai Hamlei HaPsucha, from Hashem's open hand. And it didn't have to go in any way through a boss, through an agency, through this, through that, through a bank, through anything. It came directly from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's Adam before the sin. Therefore, Adam before the sin is the Peiris Ha'ilan, is the Pri. After the Chait of Adam and Chava, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, V'chalta es Esav Asada, you are now a vegetable-eating creature. And the meaning of that is that you have lost that Madrega, that you have lost that level of Adam, the fruit-eating creature, and you are now Adam, who eats vegetables, the yerek, the esav asada, which requires tirchas and yegiyas to come. But the oimik sheba oimik of all of this is, because again, it's not that Adam Arishan, that scream of Adam Arishan, that cry, ani v'chamori, I am like my donkey, that scream, the cry of Adam Arishan was not stung, now I have to go to work. But the same scream like you and I getting up after a long weekend or something, that's what told the Marishan, is that he doesn't want to go to work. That's the whole scream. Of course not. The deeper meaning of this klal, of this curse, because this curse of the fruit becoming a vegetable is the curse that you and I have to contend with every single minute of our lives. So what is the curse? As a result of Adam's chait, as a result of the sin, a Messias was created, a reality came into existence, where it seems like man is the one who sustains his own existence. Thus is this. It seems to us, that's right, right now, before you came to this year, and maybe even during this year, and after this year, and sometimes even during Shemoneh Esrei, we're making all kinds of cheshbonos. How am I going to make more tomorrow? How am I going to support myself and my family? A person has to make ishtadlus, or not chas v'chalila, from the anti-ishtadlus shita. But the idea that a person is preoccupied with this thought means the klal of our existence, the curse of man's existence, is that as a result of the chait, it seems to Adam, it seems to each and every one of us that we're on our own. Good luck, kids. You're on your own. To the extent that you're going to make yourself like a vegetable that needs constant care and cultivation. And you work like a machine. And you're digging and you're getting your hands dirty. If you do that, maybe Adat, you'll live. A vegetable that sits back. Any cucumber that thinks that I'm okay. I'm okay. I don't have to do anything. That cucumber's not going to make it. It's not going to make it. Right? So if you are a human being in this world that you live after the chait, we all live after the chait of Adam and Chava, it seems to us that we're vegetables. And the vegetable, the meaning of a vegetable is that if I don't do it, no one's going to do it. If I don't take care of myself, if I don't dig deep into this world and plant existence for myself and my family, v'chulu, if I don't do that, it's not going to happen. And as a result of this, man becomes far from the creator of the world. Because this itself is the pain of all human life. This is what causes man's distance from God. As long as the Baruch Shalom was taking the silver spoon in Gan Eden in paradise. And he was putting, he says, come. And he's giving it to all the Mechavet to eat. And he says, okay, Geishlufen, it's good. Although we never even went to sleep Nabuch one night like that. But Hashem's Baruch gave the silver spoon into our mouth and said, it's good, eat, it's good. So then we said, Rabbi Shalom, without you I have no life. You give me everything. Every single second of my life I need you. I can't live without you for a second. Ever since the silver spoon was taken, and man was diminished from a pre. The pre means everything is coming to me. And instead now we find ourselves in the world of Yerokis, of vegetables. So now Adam screams out, Gevalt. What's going to be? Aniva chamoiri. Noichal be'ebu sechad. I and my donkey are sharing one feeding pig. To understand, what does that really mean? What is the cry of Adam HaRishon that aniva chamoiri, that myself, my chamoiri, as the Maral says all the time, we spoke about it a little bit, chamoiri means choimer, it means physical life. The donkey is that creature that more than any other animal embodies or is a manifestation of pure physical existence. For reasons that we don't have time to get into now, Maral talks about Gruz Hashem and many other places. A donkey means chay. It's called chamor because it is purely physical. It has no will of its own, it has no seichel of its own. It's purely physical. So the taina, the complaint, the scream of Adam HaRishon, Ani v'chamori noichal be'ebus echad, shall I eat together? I am now eating like my chamor, like my donkey. The meaning of that cry, and there's reason to cry, is that I feel now so far from you. I'm not crying that I have to go to work. Of course it hurts. Of course I don't want to get up in the morning and go to work. Of course I'd like a malach to make me a barbecue. I would like that. That was certainly good. But that's not why I'm crying, Rabbi Shalom, because I have to work. If you read Brachos and you think that Adam HaRishon was some welfare case, you missed the point. Adam HaRishon is not crying because he has to work. Adam HaRishon's crying because he understands what that means. It means that I'm going to now be deceived in my children and grandchildren to thinking that I am like a vegetable, I'm like a behemoth, that to the extent that I go and hunt and work, to that extent I'm going to eat. And where does my food come from? Kayachi Vaitzim Yadi. From my own hands. If I'm not going to do it, then no one's going to do it. Sure, I believe in Kosh Baruch, Kosh Baruch, because I believe in Imam. Imam. If that Imam was so clear, people wouldn't be killing themselves at work and disappearing from their families. If that Imam was so, so clear. This is the cry. This is the scream of all the men, each and every one of us. Rabbi Shalom, you distance yourself from us. We like the feeling of your hand in our mouth. And now we're going to be mixed up, we're going to be confused. And we're going to think that it's us, I'm the one that feeds myself. And we're going to become far from you. I don't want to lose that touch with you. So Rabbi Shalom says, Kinloch, don't worry. Because he says to other Marishan, now here comes the Nechama. First, we have to understand the problem. What other Marishan is crying about? Now, what's the Nechama? So what's the, how does Hashem is brought comfort other Marishan? So the Baruch Shalom says, don't worry, b'zeyas ha'pecha toich alech. So in this pasuk, b'zeyas ha'pecha toich alechem, herein lies the side, the mystery of man's tikkun, of man's way out, of man's way of escaping. Somehow, lifting himself up from that world of Esav HaSod, of Yerokas, of vegetables, and returning to the world of the Peiros HaGan, to the world of the fruits of the Garden of Eden. In that pasuk of B'zeyas HaPecha Toich HaLech, the shaila is how? How is that the tikkun? The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara is going through the different story that we have in Shas and Shisha Sidra Mishnah. And he's bringing a pasuk. I'm not going to go through, we don't have time. But the Gemara says, Emunah Sitacha, that the word Emunah, faith, which Seder in Shas is that? Seder Zroim. It's the Seder Zroim, the section of Shas that focuses on man's work in the field. The life of a religious farmer, right? These Masechtas, Payah, Demai, and so on, Shviyas V'chul. Seder Zroim. The Gemara identifies in the pasuk that Emunah Zitacha, Emunah, faith, is uniquely connected to the farmer. Emunah Zitacha, Seder Zroim, which deals with the halachas of how the farmer is supposed to take off from his crops and so on for the poor people and for the kohen, for the Levi V'chul. As the Tosfos says over there, Ma'amin b'chai olamim v'zoreya, that the essence of a farmer, of the life of a farmer that's a yid, his life is Ma'amin b'chai olamim. He believes in the one who gives life to all worlds, v'zoreya, and he plants. Right? Ma'amin b'chai olamim. He believes in the one who lives forever and who gives life to all creation. He believes in him. He stops for a second. Ma'amin b'chai olamim v'zoreya. Because the life of the farmer depends completely, completely upon the Ribbono Shel Olam and what he's going to bring into the world. Tradition. And even now, if it doesn't rain enough, the sprinklers ain't going to work either. It depends on the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why the Ribbono Shel Olam said a Meridik Var. This is just in parentheses. Don't let this throw you off, please. This is just extracurricular. The Ishbitz has said that when it rains, people become sleepy. Yeah? When it rains, you become tired. Why? He says that when it rains, the human being understands that it's not me, it's him, so I step back from my creativity. I take a step back from my poolers. The Ishbitz Samashalov says that when it rains, I say, okay, it's talking not me, it's him. Go ahead, Rabbi Shalom, and then I become weary of this world. I become tired. I don't need to invest my koiches into this world, because I understand for a moment that the Baruch Shalom is the one that's Zonim Mepharnes, that he's the one that gives life to all worlds. So the farmer lives with this understanding. It's Ma'amin B'chai Olamim V'zoreya. So what does this mean? What's the tikkun? Now listen carefully. The shleimus of a person's emunah, the way, the road, and the tachlis of perfecting one's emunah, perfecting one's faith in the Baruch Shalom, is davka. That the human being lives is davka for the human being who lives in a life of vegetables, who feels like a vegetable, who lives in that world of Yerokas, and he's a miyageya, and he's teireya, and he goes to the fair, and he picks out the best possible seeds, and he, and he,
and he invests in what it seems to him to be the best possible location for a field. And he studies all the books and he speaks to all the chevra, to the farmers and so on. And he makes all the tirchas and all the yegiyas of this world. And this person, though, when it comes down to it, all that he does is mamin b'chayah, lamin b'zareya. That even though it looks to him like he's no different than a donkey, and it would seem to him that I have to go to work the same way that the other guy across from me on the train goes to work, and there's no one that's taking care of me, I'm all alone. The highest level of emunah, the tachlis of emunah of this world, the tachlis of man being in this world, is that, not that the malach stands there feeding you a piece of meat and a cup of wine, but that in a world that appears, and it seems to you, that you and your donkey are the same, that the person lifts himself up above all the donkeys of this world, with their three-piece suits and everything else, that he lifts himself up above all of these donkeys, above all these chamoyre, v'loike chamoyre shal pirkes ben yoy. He lifts himself up above all these chamoyre, above all these donkeys, and he says, Rabbi Yishlam Afal Pi, even though I'm the one, even though I have to get up, even though I'm doing all these things, I'm making this ishtadlis, Rabbi Yishlam, look at me, look at the way I dive, look at the way I think, look at what's important to me, look at how I'm making choices, am I prepared to live a life? Not of deprivation, I'm not talking about Pasim and Melech, we're talking about a life where I understand that despite the fact, like the Pizestan said, like the Ishkaidis said, that even the Jew who goes to work every single day and labors from morning till night, he too is able to believe that Avodas Hashem, that davening and learning and mitzvahs is a tachlis of his being in this world, and is all that gives meaning and direction to his life. He too can believe in that. So here we have a Jew that's living in a world of chamorim, of yirakis, of vegetables. Vegetables means tirchus and yegiyas, me cultivating, me planting, nachamal work, and everything of this world. And despite that, the person is able to believe that it's not me, I am not the one who's mefaring this. The panosah comes from Chayyim Lomim, the master of all life, and he told me to be a zareya, to plant. And he told me to do this, that I should make kalim for his brachas. And you could tell a Jew who lives that way in a minute, who's the one whose mom and b'chayil omen, it's how he spends his money also, and to whom he gives his money, and what he does with his free time, and what he's thinking about when his mind is not for the moment on his business. His mom and b'chayil omen zareya. The Zohar HaKadosh teaches us that the tachlis of this world is to change, is to transform all the darkness into light, and to change the bitterness into sweetness. The tachlis is to change that which is bitter into sweet. To be mamtik the bitterness. To be able to taste something good in the bitter drink that the Rebbe Shlom is handing out to each and every one of us. That the Chayzah from Lublin gave that little tzaddik. That future tzaddik was able to say, hey, it hurts, but it's good. To be able to taste the sweetness, to transform the bitterness, to taste the sweetness within or underneath the bitterness, that's going to be revealed fully when Mashiach comes. V'nigla k'vayit Hashem. V'ro kol bosa yachdav ki pi Hashem dibir. When all the world will see, when all flesh will see, when all human life, physical life will finally admit, it wasn't me, it was him. It wasn't me, it was him. Ki pi Hashem dibir. That it was from Hashem's mouth. That it was through man, through the Baruch Shalom's words. I went through the routine of a chamor of a donkey. I was impersonating the donkey. I was living that lifestyle. But the Baruch Shalom, I'm not eating from the same feeding bag. It's not, it looks like it. I'm bending down to get him into the same place as him. But you can't compare the two. It's not an ibechamari. It's b'zeis apecha toichalecha. A b'zeis apecha toichalecha means how to console, how to give chizik to man who is torn by the reality of a physical life that now has been diminished into a world of yirakas and vegetables, of tirchas and yegiyas and parnasa b'chu, and b'chira and so on. So the Baruch Shalom says, listen, Adam, b'zeis apecha toichalecha doesn't just mean here to work. It means, look, it means you're the only creature in all of existence. Only you have the ability to transform the darkness into light, to change the bitter into something which is sweet, to be able to find the Nekuda HaPnimis. And when Moshe Rabbeinu was standing on Har Sinai, so the Malachim had a tiny, you remember? The Gemara says what? The Malachim said, Ma Enosh, Kisis Kiranu, and Adam Kifkedanu. What is a human being? Ma Enosh, why should the human being get the Torah? Who is the human being that should get the Torah? And what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Moshe Rabbeinu's answer to that was, the Baruch Hu said to answer it. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Hein, hein, Admara. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. when the question was, my enishki says kerenu, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, klum, sinu, v'tachmiz b'neichem. Do you have to struggle in this world? Do you have to cultivate yourself? Do you have to lift yourself up? Were you given the job, Malach, or Reb Malach? Were you given the job to change darkness into light? No. Because you live completely immersed in light. Reb Malach, were you given the responsibility to change the bitter into sweet? No. Because all you ever have is sweetness. Because God never took the silver spoon out of your mouth. It was never taken out of your mouth, but I alone, the other, the Nezer Habriya, this is why he's the crown of creation. That this very same other, with all of his difficulties, was given Torah HaKadosha. And the Torah HaKadosha, by having the Torah gives us the ability to remake ourselves, to change the vegetables back into fruit, and to bear fruit that have a delicious taste, to be able to extract from all of the events of life, the Nahoira, that light, the Reb Tzadok is talking about, that comes Migoich HaShulchan, that comes out from the darkness. So you understand that the Kohen from Lublin says an astounding thing. That man's downfall is what? Man's downfall was that he became a vegetable-eating creature, the Ace of Asada. And man's Tikkun is what? When he makes a bracha over the bitterness. He eats the Mara over the bracha. Of the bracha means, we understand now what the Kohen is saying. To make a bracha over the bitterness means that the Rosh Hashanah Mashiach is sure to be mitzvah. You made me holy, you sanctified me, you gave me the Torah, you made me to a yid, that I have the ability to taste something sweet than that which is bitter. To davka because of my tiachas and yegiyas, that my life is meaningful, that I'm able to change myself into a fruit, that I'm able to change the darkness into light, that I'm able to give meaning and form and content to this crazy world that we're living in. Mashiach came to Behema. I can believe, I can know that you're the Chai Olamim, and all I am is I'm carrying out your will. The Behema can't do that. Therefore, it's truly astounding. It's amazing that on the day that the Rebbe Shlomo gave us the Torah, which the Torah is the way that we can make this thing. Without the Torah, we can't change anything into anything. It's only with the Torah you can change. Only the Torah can sweeten the bitterness. So therefore, we know that the din is, Haviyu lefonai shtei halechem batzeres, kidei sheyisborchu lochem peiros ha'ila. Whoever has an ear to hear understands that that there's a paradox in this statement of Chazal, that the Baruch Shalom says, Haviyu lefonai shtei halechem, we're talking about Shavuos, right? The day of Matan Torah. Haviyu lefonai shtei halechem. Which means what? Bring me the shtei lechem, the loaves of bread, which is what? Chitim, which comes from the earth, vegetation, right? Haviyu lefon shtei lechem batzeres on Shavuos. Why? Kidei sheyisborchu lochem, in order that it should bring a blessing to what? It should have said to what? The Ace of Asodet, or the Yerukas, what does it say in the Gemara? Kidei sheyisborchu lochem peiros ha'ilon. Mardik, the Torah has the ability to change a vegetable back into a fruit. Shavuos, which is the day of Kabbalah Satayr. Shavuos comes and says to us the following, Haviyu lefon shtei lechem, Rabbi Yisai, bring to me the two loaves of bread, that with the koyach of Torah, struggle through this world of yerukas, of bread, of the chitim after the sin. But Haviyu lefon, come to me and bring it to the Chai Olamim, and I will change all this bitter into sweet. I will show you a simcha, I will show you a joy that no malach could ever experience, of the transformation of darkness into light. Therefore, Haviyu lefon, so that what? So that the fruits of the tree should be blessed. It means that the Yerek, the Ace of Asada, is remade. It's changed into the Peris Elon. It means that the Marah is fixed. And this is the bracha that Reb Tzadok is talking about, the bracha over the bitterness that fixes the bitterness, that repairs the clove of the bitterness of this life that other Marishan threw us into. Mainly we understand. It's Tu B'Shvat Higia Chag Heilonis. It comes to the Tkufa of Tu B'Shvat, which Tu B'Shvat is an Indian that I've spoken about mamish dozens of times over the years, because it's a yontiv that needs more We need to understand it more. Those Yom Tov and Tu B'Shvat and Tu B'Av require a great deal of attention. They're the deepest of the Yom Tov, and that's why there's the least written about them. Because it's such a sight, the sight of HaTorah, that it's a secret that's mamish being kept, and you have to dig deep to find the secret. Tu B'Shvat. The Jewish people are tired from the long winter that we spoke about at the beginning. And we're tired of having to deal with yarukis, with vegetables. We're tired of this life of yarukis, of Esav Asad. I don't mean being vegetarians and that nothing should be misinterpreted in that way. Some of my favorite people are vegetarians. Hashem Yarachek. The Jewish people are waiting. The Jewish people are waiting for the end of the winter, for that time of Ashkedia Parachas. We're waiting for the brach of the Ashkedia Parachas, from the song that we sang as children. To see the blossoming, to see the transformation of the vegetables into fruits. And here we have a teaching that's found in Likutei Moharan. Excuse me, Moich, give me 5 minutes. I'm going to be away for 2 weeks, so I'm taking a little bit extra. In Likutei Moharan, the first chelik, Simen Samachai, Rabbi Nachman taught the following. I'm not going to explain what Rabbi Nachman said, but I want you to hear it. Da, you should know. Kiyesh sada v'sham gedele milonis v'asovim yofim v'noim ma'oid. You should know that there's a field. And in this field there are growing beautiful trees and beautiful grass. V'goyl yikar v'yoyfi ha'sada v'gidulo yiyef shel ha'sapir. And Rabbi Nachman says, I can't even tell you, I can't describe to you the beauty of this field and how it grows. Ashrei ayin roz azois. Fortunate is the eye that can see it. V'ilonis v'asovim hem chines neshamas kedoshes hagedelim sham. And these, what are these trees and these vegetables, Rabbi Nachman said? These are the neshamas hakedoshes, the holy neshamas of Yidden of Jews that are growing in that field. V'zeb bal hasada, and the master of the field, the gardener. V'zeb bal hasada mashgiach, u'mishtadl tomid lahashkas hilonis legadlam. And the master of the field, the gardener, is constantly tending to his field, watering and caring for the trees, growing them. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo, of course, is the gardener, is the master of the field, who's constantly watering and caring for the ilonis, the precious trees of that sada, of that field. You know, there are two basic types of vegetables. And I knew what these were, I just didn't know the names, so I asked my daughter last night to look this up in the encyclopedia. The two basic types of vegetables, there are leafy vegetables, like cabbage and lettuce and so on, which has the potential of becoming coleslaw and stuffed cabbage, right? The leafy vegetables. And then you have, now forgive me for this, but my daughter says this is what it says in the encyclopedia. Roots and tubers. Which my wife, she said, I said, what are they called? What are the potatoes? What are those called? She says, so my wife said, tubers. I said, you know, you're making fun of me? What's it, tubers? That's what it is. They're called roots and tubers. So the leafy vegetables are those leafy vegetables, the lettuce and the cabbage and so on. And those vegetables like potatoes or carrots and parsnips and mora, of course, that they have, that they grow in that way with the hard roots that are contained deep within the earth. So I was thinking about this, and then I asked my daughter to show me the encyclopedia a little bit more. So you know, this is what it comes out. This is what it comes out. And I'm telling, this is something you have to think about. Comes out. The leafy vegetables, they develop and they thrive in sunlight, the good air, under very pleasant conditions. That's when they thrive. The leafy vegetables. The second type of vegetables, the root or these root or tuber vegetables, they thrive in the opposite type of an environment. Their whole hispaschus, listen carefully, their whole development, their whole growth is davke where? Is davke in the darkness, deep in the harshness of the earth. That's davke with these vegetables. That's not where they become, where they achieve their greatness, they achieve their growth. That's from there they grow, they become strong. So we understand there are two types of people. there are two types of people in this world, kiyad and meisa sadim. And the two types of people, there are certain people that in order for them to develop, in order for them to function, there has to be perfect conditions. Everything has to be just right. It has to be just right, just the right mommy, just the right dad. Just the right home, just the right this, just the right school, just the right everything. In order for them to be able to develop and to be healthy and to be well and to be besimcha, to be well adjusted, there has to be warmth, there has to be sweetness, etc. And therefore, when that person tastes of the bitter drink of this world, very often there's a repulsion, like the first child who drank from the drink of the chayzer from the plant. You can't deal with that. And that setback has caused many people to despair. But there's a second type of person. Those type of people, and this is Knesset Yisrael. Of course, we have within each and every one of us, we have days that are potato days, and we have days that are cabbage days. But the Jewish people, the Jewish people as a whole, are a people that were given this responsibility of b'zeis hapecha toicha lechem. And the meaning of that is that the Jewish people live in a world where they've become great, and they become great through difficulties, through struggles, through challenges, through battles, through wars. And this is what builds the Jewish person. This is what is the tachlis and the tafkid of a Jew to transform the morah into that which is sweet, to that which is good. Therefore, even a fruit-bearing tree, when it doesn't rain, so then the roots are forced to dig deeper and to find the water that's coming from all the way down. The tree becomes greater, becomes stronger, becomes a tree. It achieves its koiches. It reaches its ideal koiches dafke when it's deprived of the sweetness of the rain. And it reaches deeper to find itself, to discover itself. Afal pichein. I think that we could end with a tefillah to the master of the field, that we've had enough mara, and many of our people are already lost in that. You know, the Kotzke once threw everybody out from the Seder. He didn't really throw it, he screamed. Because what happened was the Kotzke, it seemed that he was going through the Seder, and he was skipping mara. He was going right past mara. And then the chassidim there, and everybody got nervous, you know. It seemed like he was getting ready to go on. So nobody knew what to do. And they all looked to his son-in-law. Who's his son-in-law? The Avni Nezer. They were all afraid to say anything. So the Avni Nezer said, in a very respectful way, sure, maybe we should make even though it was a problem talking, maybe we should have more. So the Kotzke stood up, and he started pounding on the table and says, more oppressors! More oppressors! And they all ran out. They ran out to the street, except the Avnezer, and the Kotzke was for a few minutes like this, deep in thought. And then he looked up and he says, where's the oil? And then Avnezer says, I'll get the oil. And he went and he brought him in, and then he was fine. He said. So the Avnezer said, listen, that there has to be bitterness in life, Mela, but the one who asks for it, you don't have to be a more oppressor. To be a more refresher, you don't have to be. Let me tell you. There's a story that's a sipur mefurs. It's been translated into many languages. It really needs to be told properly because every single word contains with the sisrei Torah, but I just want to say it in a minute. You don't believe me? The Rabbi Nachman told this story. Rav Nachman said that there was, I'm sure you know this story, but I want you to hear it. Rav Nachman said that there was a Jew and a non-Jew, that they were schnorrers. They used to go from place to place. They were homeless. So one night, the Yid says to the guy, he said, listen, you know, tonight's a special night, it's Pesach. So the guy says, what's that? He says, we have terrific, terrific meal, delicious, the best meal of the year. You can get now in a Jewish house, the best meal. But let's divide and conquer. Right? Well, we're not going to go to the same place. People are not that rich. You go to one place, I go, no, we'll meet back here around 1 o'clock in the morning. So sure enough, they go. And what happens? So they come back. So the Yid comes back and he sees that his friend, the guy is sitting there. And the Jew says, no, what are you doing? What happened? How did it go? He says, you're crazy. I always knew the Jews are crazy. You're out of your mind. So the Jew said, what happened? He said, I'm sitting there for who knows, like a half hour, 40 minutes, until they finish getting dressed and they bring pillows to the table. And I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're going to sleep. And then all of a sudden they start mumbling and talking. And then finally the washing hands, it's, oh, now we're going to get down to business. Are you washing? We need. And then, and they hand out the piece of vegetable this big, right? Carpus, like this. So I take a piece, and then they hand, and they make, everybody has to put into salt water. And they put into salt water. So I'm starving. So I grab another piece, and they yell at me, no, because, you know, I can't have more than that, because I, you know. Says, no, so okay, I'm not going to have it. So I put that down. And then I'm waiting. They start mumbling more. They're talking more. And then they bring out this stuff. This is not even, I don't know what it is. It's like a cracker. You can't even, and I'm trying to talk. I want to have a drink of water. And they say, no. And everybody's chewing and chopping. I'm telling them to choke. I can't eat. And then they bring out this. And then the last thing, I couldn't stand after this. They brought out this stuff. I put it in my mouth and I thought my eyes were going to pop out. They brought out this mora. I thought I was going to chalas. And it wasn't like now with the romaine lettuce. They brought out mora. So the guy says, forget it, you're crazy. I walked up and I ran out of the house because I'm a shagoy. So the yid says, ah, you see, only a Jew understands that a Jew knows that after the bitterness comes the most delicious meal. If you would have stayed another minute, one more minute, you would have had shulchan aruch, a shulchan that's set for the tzaddikim. Afal pi chen, the minute's been taking a long time, yeah? So the Baruch Shalom should help us. The Baruch Shalom should help us to be able to taste in these years of vegetables. It should end, and we should taste sweetness and the bitterness that we have. The Baruch Shalom should help us, that he should bring us to that time. We should be able to be, instead of being hay in the Eitz Yovesh, instead of being dried out trees, we should be able to be mitzi, payers and the flois, to become the way that we need to become, and to be zeicher for that day, when the chitim will be brought back to the payers, say Ilan, the vias Mashiach Zakeinu, and Mehem Yomeinu Amen V'Amen.